guys, welcome back to Mostly Balanced with Mia and Carly.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We have kind of like a two-part episode today. We'll answer some listener questions, and then we have a guest later on, and she is an entrepreneur.
Yeah, so we have Rachel Gloss on the podcast today. She's the founder of Gloss Lab. If you live in the city, you might be familiar with it. I am. I am a regular customer there. Mia and I went there together a few weeks ago. So it's a nail studio that really like is such an elevated vibe when you compare it to just your basic place where you might go to get a manicure. I have enjoyed it for the past few years. And so it was cool to meet the face behind the operation and to learn more about what really led her to pursue this path of opening her own business. It's something that we have talked about a lot on the podcast with different people who have gone into so many different fields, a lot of times from a career that they weren't super passionate, well, always that they weren't super passionate about. A lot of times it's finance people or just like a typical corporate job that wasn't serving them and kind of how they navigated that road of going out and doing their own thing. So that's where the conversation with Rachel goes. It's interesting to hear how she did that, especially as a mom of two, including one baby who was really only, I think, about 1 year old. So we talk about how she navigated those conversations with her husband and really how she brought this vision to life and how it continues to be just really hard work, but what sounds like really fulfilling work.
Yeah. If you were an OG Mostly Balanced listener, we used to have these types of episodes all the time. We would invite so many of the founders of our favorite brands on, and it was so cool to get to hear career paths that are different than ours. And kind of as our focus honed in more on dating and relationships, it never felt like so out of character to interview an entrepreneur because we always do talk about the link between all of these things in your life and how your work impacts your relationships and how kind of every area that makes you you should be in balance as they all complement each other. And I love to hear the stories about people who kind of were able to identify that something was missing in their careers or were able to really take the leap to create a career or a life that they've been dreaming of and that they really want. And it is hard, but it also does take the support of the people around you. So while this wasn't a super relationship focused episode with Rachel, it was still so interesting to hear kind of how she got to where she is now and how all of those areas in her life added up to equal where she is and the Gloss Lab empire that she has today. So it was so fun chatting with her.
Yeah, I love thinking about how all those things impact each other because it's so true. It's like when your relationship is going well, the rest of your life seems like it's going a little bit better. And when your life is going really well, you feel like you're like more equipped to date or to show up better in your relationship if you are in a relationship at that time. So I fully am an advocate for like really viewing everything holistically. So it's a fun topic and I'm excited we got to have her on. We are going to, like Mia said, answer a couple of shorter listener questions beforehand. And then next week we'll be back with a solo episode going deeper into some longer questions. I don't really have anything new. This weekend just flew by. I've been trying to get my self-care in on the weekend. So that was kind of what I did this weekend, just kind of recharge.
Yes. Well, we went to Salt Drop together on Saturday. So that was super fun. I know. Doesn't that feel like forever ago? I had a wedding that night. And even that night, I was like, how was that Salt Drop class just this morning?
It feels like forever ago, but I also still feel sore. So I can definitely remember that I went. That class was so hard. And it was such an interesting experience for me because this is so funny because every time you go to Salt Drop, it ends up being like such a conversation because we both love it so much. It was so interesting because I had just the day before I had interviewed Dino, the founder of Salt Drop, for an article that I was writing about fitness clubs and the benefits of people working out together. And one of the things that I was writing about and that I was researching about is just like how much both of those two things, like one being movement and exercise and the other one being like connecting with other people and having a sense of community, how much each of those things individually impacts your health and your life and your well-being and everything. And so how when you combine those two things together, it's just like kind of like supercharges it. And so I was like so in the mindset of thinking about all those things. And then I did Dino's class and it was like, it just like brought it so much to life, even though I've done that class so many times before. Like that part at the end when we were doing like the Salt Drop burpees, if I was just like doing that in my living room, I probably would have like stopped for like a break at least. Like, but because you're just surrounded by so many people that are kind of like all in it for the same thing or with like a similar mindset, it was just like, it's so much more motivating. And I felt like it was like a really hard class, but it flew by because you're there surrounded by other people. So it was really cool. Just another plug for Dino. I just love the atmosphere that he's made there.
Yes, it really was a great class and so full. And you could just tell that all the people there love it and are so happy to be there and are returning members as well as like first timers who I always want to ask the first timers at the end, like, didn't you love that class? Like, aren't you dying to come back? Because they tend to discover it whether on like ClassPass or anywhere and just stumble in. Like, I heard that girl's talking. She was in the neighborhood. She lives around the corner and just decided to come in. And I'm like, that's the best case scenario, because I bet you're going to fall in love with this place and be back every day. And it's just all different types of people. You look around the room and it's not like boutique fitness class where like it's a carbon copy of the same person and everyone looks the same. It's like such an amazing group of people. I love Dino. And even when I was working out in my living room with just Dino for all of the years of COVID, he still was able to provide that sense of community across the screen when it was just me. So I really love the class. I want everyone to try it. It was just so fun.
If I lived in that area, I would 1,000% be a member. Every time I leave that class, I go home and I go on the website and start looking up the membership and then thinking about if I would like how often I would really commute there. I feel like it's such a good class and it's even better in person. But that said, you can try it online. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you haven't tried it, I would definitely suggest checking out a class online. And if you do live in the city, I think they have a buy one, get one free for your first class. So you can get two classes for the price of one. So highly recommend that. An amazing class. Really like made me so sore. So that was definitely like a highlight of my weekend. I felt so good after that class. And then I went out to dinner that night at a place in Cobble Hill. That was cute. And then yesterday, I just relaxed and that was it. We're recording this now on Monday. And we're getting into the holiday season.
Yeah, we are. I can't believe it. And yes, I feel like I just had like a whole day yesterday of just relaxing, but I think November is my favorite month. I am so excited for all the holidays. And yeah, I want everyone to write into our question boxes or just like DM us with any of your, maybe we'll put a specific question box out to hear about if you're bringing anyone home for the holidays and any stories you can share about introducing new people to your family, especially over a holiday.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. Okay, should we dive into the questions for today?
Yeah, we picked a couple quick questions we wanted to answer. They came in on, this one came in on our DMs, so you can always reach out even without a question box. So this person writes, how to split costs on a first trip with someone you're newly official with? What do you think? You went on a trip pretty early on in your relationship with your boyfriend. So I know that was a...
Yeah, that was like an interesting...
A press trip? Though?
Well, it's still like a good example. So that was a trip that I had gotten the hotel through work. So that was kind of like that portion of it was just out of sight, out of mind. But I did like, I got it. So I feel like I got points for that. Yeah. but then it was also the element of it being his birthday that weekend while we were there. So that was like a factor that came to play during, but we also had to get our own flights. So what we did was we both paid for our own flights, which I think is like an understandable, like I would suggest that that's what you do when you go on a trip, unless like one person makes like significantly more money and they're like spearheading this trip and they want to get the flights for both of you, then I guess that's like fine too. But I just feel like I would feel more comfortable if you're both paying for your own flight, because that's like your flight.
Right.
It's not like something for both of you. And so then when we got there, I think pretty much because I had arranged the trip and was bringing him as my guest, it just like he ended up paying for most meals that we would have that were outside of like what was included with the hotel. So if we went out to eat and everything, he would pay except for his birthday dinner when I paid. So we didn't like talk about it or have like a set thing. We actually didn't even talk about like, are we each going to buy our own flights? We kind of just like were next to each other on the couch and looked them up on our phone and bought them. And that was it.
So were you sitting next to each other on the flight?
Well, so that was the thing is that first, yeah, I think we weren't able to pick our seats with the flights that we got. So then we weren't seated next to each other, but then we asked to switch and we were able to switch, I think both directions, if I remember correctly. We might've been like one seat apart on the way back, but I think we were able to sit together. So that was the first time that we traveled together. But funny enough, it wasn't our first airport experience together.
What?
Because there was like one time when we were like maybe 6 weeks into our relationship when we both had I guess we must have been like 2 months into the relationship. we both had a flight the same morning and he overslept and like missed his flight and then had to rush to the airport to try to get, like, he was trying to make it, but then he had to like delay it for like a couple of hours. So then when I got to the airport, he was still there and we were like near the same like terminals. Then we like hung out in the airport at like 8 a.m., which is just
a funny story. I don't think I remember that.
But so I got to see like his travel demeanor a little bit and get a preview of it.
Travel demeanor is really important in sussing out a new relationship, I think. And I think that was pretty much the same when Dan and I would travel together early on. I can't remember if we did exactly that or if maybe one person would book the flights and the other person would book the hotel and they were like roughly the same amount. But then usually Dan would pay for most dinners there or like I would pick one up. I think it's just, I feel that's a pretty like even cadence, like one person do the hotel and one person do the flights.
Yeah. I feel like that makes sense if they're pretty similar.
Or split them both evenly. I do feel like on early dating, like a new relationship, I feel splitting the costs of the flight and the hotel makes sense because it's like just those are two big expenses that you're each sharing. And it kind of makes sense to just split down the middle, I guess, unless one person makes like so much and it's their treat. Or if the prices are the same, like one person take one and the other person take the other.
Yeah.
And then like the meals and stuff there kind of like shake out on their own. Like one person tends to treat more than the other.
I just feel like splitting a hotel feels weird. Anything that involves like Venmoing someone for something, it just feels weird. Right. I know you do that like in relationships. I just always get like turned off when someone sends me a Venmo for something that I paid for in a relationship. I feel weird Venmoing them. Like I got drinks, like even the other night, I paid for our drinks at like the bar because it was cash only. And then Sean like Venmoed me for it. And I just thought it was like so weird because I was like, sometimes I pay and he doesn't do that. Other times, like, why don't you just Venmo? It makes me feel like I'm out with my friend. It just takes like the romance out of it.
I agree. That's why I feel like, I mean, when Dan and I go on trips now, usually like one person will do the, like when we just went to France, we would just split up, like Dan would buy the flights or like one of us would book them on our own points. Like one would just pay for one whole thing and the other one would pay for like one whole thing. Yeah. But even like now, it's funny to, because we still have, we have one joint bank account, but we use it just for like savings. We'll put money in there. We don't swipe a card that will come out of that. And we don't have a joint credit card yet. So we still have our own accounts. So a lot of things I pay for are just on my own credit card or like my money. But I need to kind of like get out of that mentality of like my money versus his money.
Yeah.
Because it's not like we're not doing things like that anymore where it's like, or we shouldn't be like, well, I paid for the flights for this upcoming anniversary trip. So you get the hotel. Like it just feels so weird. But I don't know. I think just any, whether you're dating in a new relationship, married, celebrating your 10th anniversary, like any of these things, I don't think there's like a normal that is like, if you're not doing this, your relationship's not going the right way. I think just any form, any communication and just making sure you're both like comfortable with however this is shaking out, then great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I feel like once you're there and you're going for meals and everything, I think it would just like follow the same cadence that it kind of does like when you're in your place that you live. Like if they pay for most of your dinners out, then I feel like they probably will on vacation too. But that might change if like they did offer and they paid for the whole hotel, then I feel like while you're there, you should offer a little bit more than you usually do to pay for meals. Like, I think there's ways of like evening it out. Yeah. If somebody is like really insisting and offering on paying for more of the like bigger expenses, like the flights or the hotel, then I think it does like really make sense to show that you're grateful by offering to pay for little things while you're there, like meals. That's not so little sometimes. So like, to pay for meals and whatever drinks, whatever it is while you're away. But I think this is like a good opportunity to talk about it with them. Mm-hmm. Don't assume anything. Don't assume that they're going to pay for more of it or like whatever it is. Just say, maybe suggest like, let's both buy our own flights. And then like, how should we handle the hotel? Like ask them, see what they think, like, think about what you would rather do and then take it from there. But money is like such an awkward subject, but it shouldn't be. And like, it doesn't have to be especially if you use these opportunities to talk more about it early on, then it will just kind of like become a normal thing.
I think we have a graphic on tips for traveling with your partner. And so many of those tips or conversations that you're going to have ahead of time, like aligning on what kind of trip you both want to go on and aligning on a budget and talking about the costs beforehand. So to this person's question, like, we love you asked us the question to kind of like hash out here and talk about our own experiences. But I would ask your partner and have just like a very honest conversation about what they're thinking and who's going to be paying for what and what your budget is. And then you won't go into it with any questions.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, this next question is another early dating question. So this one says, third date dinner. He said he had to work after. He warned me before. Not interested, or what's the deal?
Third date dinner?
Yeah, they're going out to dinner for their third date. And beforehand, he let her know he was going to have to work after.
I don't think this is suspect or a bad sign necessarily. I think since there maybe, I don't know the details, but maybe there were several options of going out on a date, or you're both been really busy and this is the one day that like it really made sense for you to get together and he really wanted to bring you out to dinner. He just happened to have to work afterwards and like gave you a heads up. I think if this was last minute, like he arrived there on the date or the date's ending and he's like, sorry, gotta go, I have to go back to work, then that's suspect. And I don't really believe that. I think all of the difference here is that he warned you ahead of time.
Yeah. This is funny because I did respond to it. And I think I just said like, I wouldn't think anything of it. If anything, I think it's good that he wanted to still go out with you, even though he had to work that night. Also, not thinking anything of it has to do with like whatever their career is. So like if their job is like right. a bartender or like something that involves working nights, then I think it makes sense. But if they like work in a 9-to-5 job, then obviously that makes no sense.
I kind of thought they were like maybe like a lawyer or in finance and like had to like go back to the office to like finish a project. I still wouldn't like think much of it. Or a doctor. I mean, like any job, I think you can. There's a chance you'll have to like work later.
But then when I read the question out loud to Sean and he hadn't seen my answer, his immediate response, I was just like, I read the question and said, is he not interested or what's the deal? Because that's what the girl asked. And his response was, oh, yeah, I think it's so annoying when people double book dates. So he just immediately thought that that meant that the person had double booked a date, which like hadn't even crossed my mind. But I guess that is a very...
See, it's so funny because if this was opposite, a guy writing in saying like the girl said she had to work after, I would say like, yeah, maybe the girl's not like so interested and she just like wanted to like make sure there was a plan after. She wanted an end time. I would never have thought like, oh, she obviously has a date lined up after.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. I have booked like 2 dates in one night before. Like there, actually probably not. I think I probably did like a during the day walk date. And then that night I think there were like maybe 2 or 3 times where I scheduled 2 dates in one day, like feeling very ambitious. But I don't think this is something people are out there regularly doing, like especially on a third date. I feel like if he's interested enough to go out on a third date, he's not then like planning another date right after it. But then somebody replied to my response and like very strongly disagreed with what I said. She said, sorry, have to disagree. Could be that he is, this makes me laugh because she says, could be. And then she says this like very specific thing. She says, could be that he is cheating on his actual live-in partner with this person and using this as an excuse to get back home to her. It could be that he has a live-in girlfriend and he's just using this as an excuse to get home. Because of this like happened to her, it took her 2 months to fully put the puzzle pieces together because she was living in a state of denial, she says. So,
well,
there's a worst case scenario.
That's a worst case scenario. I think that's also a really good example of someone projecting their own experiences onto a situation.
Onto like their advice that they would give you. This is why like,
I wonder if Sean's projecting anything onto that question either. I think, but it's just like a reminder, like we now have 4 people's interpretation of what this means. And all 4 of them are like slightly different besides the 2 of us who are seem to be on the same page. But it just like, it kind of goes to show you there's so many different interpretations. You could ask so many, like you're never going to know unless like you have the communication with this person. And you can never just assume anything in a relationship or any dating scenario you're in. Like,
yeah,
4 people just gave their assumptions and they were all different. So I think you can assume and jump to conclusions all you want, but it's going to make all the difference of like this person's character, this person's job. I don't know the context of like how this date came to be. Yes, I agree with what you're saying. Like if this is a trend or just like talking about it up front.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't think that there's like, that you should be like, so like, do you really have to work? I feel like there's like no communication needs to be had.
I agree with that.
Besides just like, maybe like bookmarking this in your head and kind of keeping an eye out for if there are other signs that I don't want to tell you to like, look out. They might have a girlfriend. That's, I feel like that's like just so cynical to think that way. And I also don't feel like I need to say like, oh, they might be seeing someone else, because like they probably are also like maybe still on apps or whatever they're doing if you haven't talked about it yet. So I would like give them the benefit of the doubt and like look on the positive side of, you guys have a good connection and you got on a third date and now hopefully you go on a fourth date. If they like continue to say they have to work afterwards,
right,
or like make these little things like, and it seems out of the norm for like what you understand their job to be, then I feel like then that's when it's a kind of can be a conversation starter of like, are you seeing other people, when you like want to like bring that up. I feel like I wouldn't like weigh it too heavily if it's just this like one time that they had to work after your date.
I agree. And I don't mean have like a ask questions and have a conversation around this specific instance. I think like, yes, the conversation will eventually come up about your like where this is going and what you both want out of the relationship. And that's like, those are like the types of conversations you'll have where you'll see what the person wants.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Mark it, file it, and see if this is a trend that continues to happen.
Yes, I agree. Well, that's it for the questions for today, but we'll put up another question box this week. And if you have a longer question you want to ask or just would rather send us an email, you can do that at hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. Or send us a DM on Instagram @mostlybalancedpodcast.
Yes, thanks so much. And hope you love the interview with Rachel Glass. Go get a manicure at Glass Lab. Welcome back. We are so excited to chat with our guest today. She is the founder of Glass Lab, and I think this is going to be an amazing conversation about entrepreneurship and confidence. So welcome to Mostly Balanced, Rachel Glass.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We're excited. We haven't had an entrepreneur on the podcast in a while, so I think this is going to be a really great conversation. A lot of people listening are probably in the New York area and probably know Glass Lab already, but we always like just to start by having our guests tell everybody a little bit more about themselves. So can you tell everybody listening where you're from, where you live now, and then a little bit more about what you do?
Yes. So I am the founder of Glass Lab. I live in New York City. I'm married. I have two young daughters, you know, who either love getting manicures or hate getting manicures, depends on the day. And my background is in finance, and I started Glass Lab several years ago. We now have over 20 locations in New York and in a few other cities as well.
Amazing. I love to see and hear of these entrepreneur stories. I feel yours is similar to a lot that we both have heard before, of people working in fields they're not super passionate about, kind of getting burned out a lot from like finance and banking, and then really making that switch to do something they're so passionate about and where work doesn't really feel so much like work anymore. So can you talk a little bit about that experience and what really prompted you to take the plunge and start Glass Lab?
Yeah. So I've always been very entrepreneurial, like since I was a kid. I've always been starting businesses, and I had a business when I was in business school. And out of business school, I went into hedge fund fundraising. I loved it because even though I was working for other companies, it was a very entrepreneurial role where I would go out and raise money. And it was sort of like a eat what you kill type of role, which I loved. And I have two young daughters. When my second daughter was about a year old, I found that I was just traveling too much. I was in multiple cities, often sort of every week, mm-hmm. and felt like this, it was time to do something that that was really my own. And it had been, I would say, my calling for a long time. And a manicure to me has always been really just part of my week, like part of sort of hygiene. It's like going to the gym. I feel like it's an errand, and I was always just really frustrated with no brand in the space, nothing that was reliable, really focused on clean, focused on the client journey, and ultimately left to start Glass Lab. But it wasn't like one day I was in finance and the next day I had this company. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of in between and sort of a lot of just working on myself and figuring out the concept and the beginning. It happened slowly.
I love that. You know, it's funny because I never really thought about it until I read some interviews that you have done. But there's like something about getting a manicure that to me just makes me feel so much more put together immediately when my nails are done. I feel like you feel, yeah, put together. It's like the best way I can say it. But the thing that I never thought about is that the actual experience itself just was not ever that fun. Like unless you're going somewhere like a gloss lab that like makes it fun and has the vibe that it feels like self-care in the moment. But a lot of places that I have been that aren't like that are more of just like an in and out experience. And you just kind of like want to find a place that's like going to do the best job, but you don't really look forward to the actual place. So that's, in my opinion,
yes,
from going to Gloss Lab, what sets it apart. So is that one of the things that was really important to you to really create a space that people would like want to spend their time?
Yes, it was important to me. I would say a few things were important to me. I wanted to take out sort of the pain points as I knew them of the existing experience. And I have always been a germaphobe, like a pre-COVID germaphobe before the world became germaphobe. So hygiene was really important to me from the beginning. We clean all of our tools and hospital grade sterilizers. Our services are completely waterless. Like that was very, very important to me from day one. Post-COVID, that obviously resonated more with I think the rest of our customers. But that has been really important. And then just everything about creating this as the most efficient experience possible. So we're cashless, online booking. Mm-hmm. We often do manis and pedis at the same time. We have a membership. So it is, like you're saying, it's sort of this moment that you can take for yourself. It's this affordable luxury. It's something really easy to do that makes you feel better. But it's not, I don't think of a manicure as like getting a massage. A massage is like you enjoy it, yeah, and it's relaxing. And we've definitely tried to make it quick, clean, efficient, like a fun experience while you're there, but also let's still get you in and out and back to your day, because this is like, it's really about the end result as opposed to the time spent getting the manicure.
It is really quick.
Yes, that's the goal. I'm happy to hear that as customers.
Especially the combined manicure pedicure. I've definitely done that, yes, one. It's like you're in and out.
I love it. That's my favorite.
I love any and all efficiency like that.
Yes, that's the best.
One thing about our podcast, we talk a lot about dating and relationships, but of course, love to hear inspiring stories like yours. But I do find a lot of through lines between all of these topics. So you mentioned earlier just like your shift of finding what you were passionate about, and it wasn't, you know, one day you were in your job and the next day you had this company of yours. So I want to talk a little more about your self-care and state of mind throughout that process. I think a lot of people say you can't go out and find the relationship you want until you're the best version of yourself and feel super confident in yourself before like putting yourself out there and meeting your partner. Curious if you feel that way about embarking on your own project or your own business. Like, did you feel like you needed to have all your ducks in a row and like certain things lined up before you could take that plunge? Or is it kind of a work in progress?
I would say it's a great question. I would say it's definitely a mix of both. Like it's always a work in progress. It's like, you know, I think there's a saying of like, people say like, oh, well, you like fix that issue with yourself. It's like, it's never really, it's always something that I believe that I'm working on, because it's like, oh, you,
right,
I don't know, you don't exercise one time and then you exercised, you know what I mean? It's like, it's always a working thing. And I agree. I mean, I definitely think for myself, because I was married already and had kids already when I started this business, but I know from my own experience, I am much happier as a mom and as a wife and in my relationship and in my family, doing something every day that's really fulfilling and that I love. And it's not easy. It's super stressful. Like there's a saying that I resonate with of entrepreneurs pick, you get to pick the 100 hours a week that you work. But I would take that any day over working 40 hours a week for somebody else, because it is, to me, it's very fulfilling and very meaningful. And I really, really, truly love what I'm doing. And I think you're right that it definitely, you know, it carries on to everything else that you're doing, for sure. Your relationships, your family, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so true. So you said you were married, you had kids before you took the plunge and started Gloss Lab. When you really decided, okay, I'm going to do this, and brought it up to your husband? Was it something like a, oh, wow, like surprise? Or was it like something you guys have kind of always talked about? Like you knew this was something you wanted to do long term?
I think, I mean, he always knew. So he met me before I went to business school. So he always knew I was like, you know, sort of headed in some direction of something.
Yeah.
Although going to business school and, you know, working in a cushy finance job is very different than what I'm doing now. It was something we talked about. I think in the beginning of any idea, like leaving a finance job and telling my husband, my friends, my family that I wanted to start a nail salon, like everyone looked at me like I was insane.
Yeah.
But I think he saw really just like my passion for it and was like, you know, like, let's try it out. Let's go for this ride. But it's still a ride. It's not easy. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. How many years has Gloss Lab been around now? What year are you in?
About four years.
Amazing. But it's still like a young company. So I imagine it's not dissimilar to the beginning when you were putting in lots of time. I feel it's going to be always evolving. But you mentioned this was around when your daughter was one. How was that? Like shifting from being a mom to two young girls, a baby who's only just one. Like, what was that like? Was it a tough decision? Did you feel like you had to sacrifice any time with your babies? Or was this like the time to just do it? You knew this was the plunge that you had to take.
Yeah, you know, for me, the timing just sort of happened when it happened. I think if I could go back in time, I maybe would have started something earlier, but this is just when I felt like was the right time. You know, ironically, I do feel like I have in some ways more time with them now because it's my time. So if I need to be there for things, I can be there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I guess to me, like when I am with them, I can be really present. Most of the time I can be present. Not always. I'm not amazing at that, but I try to be really present when I'm with my girls and with my husband and take that time, even if it means like I'm working late into the night or waking up really early to do work. When I'm with them, I'm really with them and I have that flexibility.
Yeah, definitely. What is some advice you would give to somebody who does want to start their own business?
I would say the beginning is always, I mean, the whole thing is hard, but the beginning is very hard because I think without a direction is really hard. So in the beginning for me, when this was really in the idea phase, I would always push myself to do three things a day that would push it forward. And at the time, it seems kind of silly. It's like, talk to this person, set up a meeting, you know, to learn about this. Like I went to nail technician training school as part of my diligence for Gloss Lab.
Oh, wow.
That was one of my things that I did. So I think it's always just putting ideas into action, always pushing things forward because it's super easy to have ideas, but it's a lot harder to take action and do the work. And even if they seem little at the time, it adds up. So doing those little things can really lead to something big.
I love that advice. I feel even in my own workday, I bucket things into three things I need to get done today. Like if nothing else, mm-hmm. three things I need to do. It's like the power of three, which I love.
Yeah.
You talked about how this has like really just changed your life and made you happier and you're working for yourself and can set your own schedule and it's time that you're dedicating to something you want and it's improved your relationships. Is there anything like specific about your relationship with your husband that you really can attribute to the happiness that this other area of your life has given you?
Yes, I would say there's several things. I would say because we have two young children, that's sort of like at the forefront for me. So I think when we were both working very busy full-time jobs and I was working in finance at the time, you know, our time at home, both together and with the kids, was just chaos of like both getting home, both there for kind of like the worst hour of the kids' day, the worst hour of our day, like that sort of pitching hour. And me being like, just happier generally with what I'm doing during the day has changed me, which, you know, sort of has this ripple effect on everyone else. But also that I feel like I have a little bit more flexibility of like, if I, you know, I'm creating really my own day every day. And if I need to do things for the kids, I can do that. I'm not sacrificing work or having to, you know, sort of juggle all of that. So I think every little piece has like its own ripple effect on the whole family.
Yes.
Yeah. And that flexibility, I feel like, is so key. How old are your kids now?
My girls are 9 and 11.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's so cute.
Yeah. They feel young but old at the same time. It makes me feel old.
Right. So.
They're like real people.
That's like such a transitionary age. It is. And it's like you're not little kids anymore. You're actually like tweens.
All of a sudden, like I have little kids, but they're like kind of not like super little, you know? It's
Yeah. Wow. What is one of your favorite methods of self-care? Like, how do you keep yourself feeling balanced?
I wake up like insanely early hours in the morning. That's when I wake up like naturally. And I love that time of just nobody else is awake in my house. I sort of go through my top things for the day. I exercise. I like take a minute of just being in the quiet. And that really sets up my day. And it doesn't, you know, things happen. I don't have that every single day, but when I don't have it, I really feel off. So I've found that that's really like, for me, that's like my sacred time.
Yeah. I love that. As an aspirational early morning person, that's like the exact ideal I'm looking for. What is your workout of choice?
My workout of choice, I'm a big yoga and Pilates girl. I love solid core. I love Lion's Den yoga in the city. Those are my favorites.
I love that.
So you did give a little bit of advice for somebody who might want to start their own business. But what about for those conversations that you mentioned where people are kind of like, you're crazy. Like, I'm sure you had a huge level of support. But for anybody who might be trying to talk you out of it or might not feel so confident in your decision, how did you approach those conversations?
They're hard. I mean, I tried to like, in some ways, it's you have to just sort of like stay strong through it because being where I am now, it's those same people that told me I was crazy who are like, this is the greatest thing. Right. This is so great. How'd you think of it? And they definitely told me I was crazy a few years ago.
Yeah.
You told us how supportive your husband was in this decision. And it was just like such a natural decision for you and progression in your life and relationship. And I think when we talk to entrepreneurs, we have had several conversations with people in the same reaction. Their partners, their family, their friends were super supportive. And I think that's just something we like take for granted that, of course, your partner, your spouse is going to support your career dreams. But I don't think that's always the case. So do you have any advice or even like early indicators in a relationship that you are picking the partner that is going to be super supportive of your dreams?
Oh, this is such a hard question.
It's not. Yeah. It's like a secret sauce that people are hoping to have an answer to.
I don't have a secret sauce of any type. I don't think we really had that conversation. I mean, I think my husband and I both come from very close families. We're both very close with our siblings and our parents. So that to us, I felt like core values, that was really important in just getting married and raising a family. We didn't really talk as much. I don't think like it wasn't a pre-marriage, like I'm going to start a business one day and it's going to be really stressful for you and for me. Like this was not a pre-marriage conversation. I don't know what advice I would give. I mean, I definitely think having a lot of the same family values has made a lot of everything else easier. But I know each relationship is different.
Yeah, I love that answer. I think that's so true. Who has inspired you the most in your career? Is there anybody that you specifically looked up to as you were forming your plans to start Gloss Lab or even when you're just doing day-to-day work?
I am always, and maybe this sounds very cheesy, but my daughters are always my inspiration because I always just think of, you know, I love that they can really see what I'm doing. So I felt like when I worked in finance, like mommy went to an office and now they see, you know, and they really see all of it. Like they see the really fun part of like opening stores and launching products and having celebrities come in. And then they see like, that I'm really working a lot, you know, and a lot of this is just like at a computer and in meetings and working a lot. And I love that they get to see that. And to me, that's really inspiring.
Yeah, I love that too. I'm also curious what goes into deciding where these locations will be. So you mentioned, did you say you have 20 locations? They're mostly in New York, right?
We have 21 locations. Right now, our locations are in New York, Miami, Dallas, and DC. And we are actually starting to franchise. So we're opening locations across the country.
To Carly's question, what went into launching your Glass Labs to date and like when you are thinking of expanding? I mean, I guess franchising means anyone can open a location, correct?
Anyone can open. Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. So we started in New York. I'm based in New York. Our team is based in New York. Miami sort of felt like our most natural next city because it's sort of like the other coast, New York. Mm-hmm. And then we launched Dallas quickly after DC. And that's really just where we've launched corporate stores and where we started, where we felt like we could go into markets and kind of not just be one location, but be a brand in the space and open several locations. But we are right now in the process of opening really in many cities and states across the country.
I love that. Do you have any plans to expand beyond what your current offerings are? Or is that a secret you can't tell us?
We do. No, we do. We do. Both services and product. So things that are cool. Coming.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Does Gloss Lab have like their own nail polish line right now?
We do. We have our own nail polish, hand cream, foot cream, manicure, pedicure kit. I'll send you guys some stuff.
Can it all be purchased online?
Yes.
Okay, amazing. We'll put the link in the show notes too.
Amazing.
I also am just curious. I'm just curious about all these like starting a business questions. How did you come up with the name? Was it just like a simple thing that just came to you?
No, I had some branding help come up with the name. Okay. And people now say, why wasn't it just Glass Lab? And I was like, that would have been.
I wondered that.
I wondered that too.
That's really funny.
That's very funny. Do you get to pick your nail polish colors? That was always when I was a girl, like probably your daughter's age, my like ideal dream job was like picking nail polish colors.
Yes.
Like big aspirations in life.
We do. We do pick our nail polish colors. Yeah.
Okay. So we do always like to just ask some more rapid fire type questions, like learning a little bit more about you outside of what you do. And I'm curious because you mentioned being a morning person and your morning routine sounds like the perfect way to start the day. What is a typical like nighttime routine after the kids have gone to sleep? What do you usually do pre-bed?
So the sad thing is that my kids getting older, especially my 11-year-old, like does not go to sleep. So I used to have this joy of like putting my kids to sleep and having a night. And I really have like this such a little night now. It's the constant hustle of getting them to sleep, which sometimes goes later, often goes later than I want it to. And then for me, it's usually like a quick catch up with my husband, checking any emails that have come through of work, anything I need to do. I always, and I usually do this earlier in the day, but I always set up the next day that day. So like I have my schedule and my list and my top things that I need to do the following day ahead of that day starting. That's very important to me. Like I can't go to sleep without that. It's sort of like a thing.
Yeah.
And then I usually just, I mean, I have my face skin routine.
Mm-hmm. Don't we all?
Yes, exactly. And then it's kind of like to bed. Yeah. Like I'm like early to bed.
Yeah.
A little bored.
Do you have a TV in your bedroom?
We do have a TV in our bedroom, but I don't watch it at night. Like it's kind of just there. I feel like we don't really use it that much.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Is TV in the bedroom bad? I mean, we don't watch
TV. I have a TV.
We don't watch TV in the bedroom.
We've talked, this was like one of the first things like Carly and I talked about on the podcast in like moving in with a partner because I always had a TV in my room like you, but I was never like a going to sleep and watching it type. Like I wasn't the type to fall asleep with the TV on, but my husband, that's how he has been his whole life. So that was a big learning curve, like adjustment for me when we started to have sleepovers and move in together is that like I had to just get used to having a television on while going to sleep.
I feel like I wouldn't be able to fall asleep if it was on, but that's just me. Some people can fall asleep through anything,
Definitely a point of contention.
I have the same thing. I had the same thing because my husband is a TV person too. So I think when we first moved in together, he had the wireless headphones.
Smart. That's nice.
I don't know how I fell asleep with it. And then he's switched to an iPad.
Compromise.
Which, by the way, It's like he's gotten progressively better and I've gotten progressively worse because now I'm like, the iPad is so annoying. You know, and it's like an iPad.
That's a really TV. Funny. Yeah. Maybe it's time for like a night mask, like a sleep mask.
Yeah.
Something.
Yes.
Outside of getting manicures and pedicures, what are some things you feel can really boost your confidence? Whether it's like something like that, like self-care wise or an outfit or even like nothing even physical related.
Yeah. I think it's I do love a manicure as like a small thing that it just feels good. I also feel that way with just like feeling confident and like what you're wearing, what you're, you know, to me, it's like if I am taking care of myself on the inside, if I'm exercising, drinking water, like I feel good.
Yeah, I totally agree. What's your favorite nail color?
So I'm actually so super basic with nails, ironically. My favorite color, we have one called our OG Everyday, and it really is like the most, I'm wearing it now.
I was going to say, are you wearing like, it now?
It's like a not totally sheer, not totally opaque, a little white, a little pink. It's just like a great light everyday color. I try to deviate, but I really end up getting it 90% of the time. And otherwise, we have a few amazing gray colors that I love.
Ooh, I love a gray.
Yeah.
I actually like typically regret deviating because I have my go-tos also. And yes. Sometimes I like a pop, like a fun color.
Yeah.
More so over the summer maybe. But most of the time, especially if I get gel, I'm like, okay, I'm over this. Because it lasts a long time.
It does.
Yeah. Yes. I'm the same. I'm very like, I'm the type of person that always has my nails done. Like if I don't have my nails done, I just don't feel
You're my kind myself. Of person. It makes me crazy.
I wanted to ask you too, like, do you feel like you have to always have a perfect manicure? Living as you out in the world, it comes with the job.
So I do. And I often meet people and they're like, oh my God, my nails, like I'm so embarrassed. And I like, to me, I do, but it's not for work. It's like, that's like why I started it because I've always been like that. Always.
Me too.
Yeah, Mia, you definitely have always been like that. I remember that, actually. I feel like when we first started being friends, I would like almost be embarrassed if my nails weren't done. I'm like, oh, Mia's going to judge me.
It makes me crazy.
I am the friend. Like a lot of my friends will say that to me, like bring it to my attention. Like, I'm so sorry. Mia, don't even look at my nails. Like that's me in my life, too. I'm always the one.
I love it. If you want to work at Glossop, yes,
for sure. I think I have the job description down. Perfect. What is the best trip you've ever been on?
Best trip. So we got married in Anguilla and I have to say that was the best because it just was. It was amazing. And it was our wedding and it was just so great. And I feel like people still talk about it, which is really fun.
I bet they do. That's amazing. Yeah. I don't know if you'd like to cook or not, but what is your favorite meal to cook?
I hate to cook. I feel like a really bad mother that I hate to cook, but I just hate to cook. I will do it out of force, but I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Do you have a favorite New York City restaurant?
I live downtown and Bubby's, which is a brunch place, is sort of like our go-to, but not for brunch, for dinner. So that's like my go-to 5:30 kid dinner place.
I feel like they have really good pie. Did I make that up?
They have good pie and they have really good pancakes.
Pancakes too. Yes, for sure.
I love Bubby's. Also, I feel like we need to end that like stigma of like, I hate cooking, so I need to like justify, but I feel bad for my kids. Like, sometimes you just don't want cooking.
Yeah, you can just hate it.
You just hate cooking.
Yes. Yeah.
I hate it. I'm just not the person. Like, I know people find it relaxing. It's like stressful to me. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah. Does your husband like it?
No. I wish one of us liked it. That was maybe
one of your kids will.
Before we got married. Maybe that's a good conversation to have.
Right? Should we close with advice?
Yeah, we always love to end our episodes with pieces of advice from our guests. We love to give it as a spin to your younger self. So if you had to give your younger self a piece of advice, what would it be?
So I always say, create your own happiness. That's my go-to. And it's really meaningful for me now every day, but also really to my younger self too, of like, if it's been sort of too many days of like things not feeling right. If it's a relationship, if it's a job, if it's something is off. And I think your gut really has a voice. And I've found that when I don't listen to my gut. Like it comes out later. So listen to that voice.
Yes. Yeah. That's great advice. I think it's simple, but we often forget that. And I think sometimes ignore the feelings that we like keep coming up for various reasons.
Yeah, yes. I totally agree. Well, this was amazing. Thank you so much. We love hearing more about your story. And it's great to feel that like inspiration to follow something that you're passionate about. Can you tell everybody listening where they can find you or learn more about Gloss Lab?
Yes. Thank you. No, thank you so much for having me. So you can find us at Gloss Lab and you can find me at Rach A. Glass.
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes too.
Perfect.
Well, thank you again. This was great.